Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 through chapter 2 verse 4, a short course for men. Philippi, as it appeared in 200 BC and as it appears today. The structure of the epistle is as follows. It begins with Paul's thankful prayer, verses 1 through 11, followed by his missionary report, and then God's call to be holy. He will then deal with doctrinal polemics, defending the faith, and finish with joyful partnership. An outline of today's passage, God's call to be holy, in Christian community, where we experience tenacity, suffering, and unity. Subsequent lessons will deal with Christian humility and Christian obedience. Every human community develops language, leading to some basic Bible translation guidelines. Men in our study have raised the question of different Bible translations. Well, let me suggest some Bible translation guidelines. First, human languages carry four kinds of information: actors, actions, relations, and abstracts. But these are presented in different forms. Languages arrange their ideas with grammar, with syntax or word order, and discourse, logical flow, but those differ in their form. Then individual words will always have a denotation, a cognitive mental referent, and a connotation, a more subjective or affective feeling. Well, which translations are best? First, we have to understand that no two languages have word-for-word exact correspondence. We even see that where the Greek New Testament translates the Hebrew Old Testament, there is always a difference in form. This leads us to conclude that all translations are paraphrases. Thus, any version which claims to be an exact translation is fibbing. Yet, most Bible translations are sufficient to communicate essential truth. How then can we recognize good translations? Well, first, a good translation will preserve all the information from the original and include no extraneous or extra information. Thirdly, it will employ normal speech patterns in the reader's language, although this may be adjusted to readers' or hearers' ability to understand. When are new translations needed? In each language, a new one for the illiterate and oral learners, for different age and education levels. We need a translation for liturgical or church usage, and another for those who are highly literate. Scholars and exegetes produce their own translations in which they express subtle differences of meaning. We need different translations for various ethnic and faith backgrounds. Then, of course, our languages themselves continually change, and scholars make new discoveries about the original languages, leading to improvements. There are organizations which have produced mistranslations. Now, even seminarians who know a little bit of Greek will try to translate it in rather strange ways. Religious sects make translations which promote their own weird doctrines, such as Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. Some translators are simply ignorant of advances in linguistic, textual, and cultural studies. Then there are atheists and missionaries from other religions who twist text to support their own ideas. And then amongst Christians themselves, there are those who seek to preserve or to promote their denominational practices. In today's passage, in the original Greek, 1:27 through 29 forms one long sentence, and 2:1 through 4 another long sentence. Our translation shall break these into several sentences. After reading each slide, reply to these three queries in your group. What do we learn from these words? What must we believe or trust? And then, what must we do or obey? Let all reply who wish to do so. Now, if we were to try to do a word-for-word Greek-English translation, it might sound like this. Only worthily of the evangel of the Christ make yourself citizens. So whether coming and seeing, whether absenting, I am hearing the things about you, that you are standing in one spirit, one psyche, together contending in the faithfulness of the evangel. Dealing with Christian tenacity, we offer this translation. Only keep on dwelling together in a way which honors the good news about Messiah, so that whether or not I come to see you, I shall hear about you, that you stand together with one purpose, helping each other to remain faithful to the good news. The term translated dwelling is a verb which means to be a good citizen. As we continue with our word-for-word mistranslation, verse 28, and not being intimidated in nothing under the opposers, which thing is for them proof of perdition, but of you of salvation, and that thing from God. Well, let's retranslate. Do not be intimidated in any way by those who oppose you. Your faith in the good news means that they are lost, and that it is God who has saved you. Now, when he says frightened or intimidated, that is the suggestion that you might be wrong. Who opposes the Christians? Historically, some Jews, many Romans, and Judaizers, Christians who want you to adopt Jewish practices. By faith, we mean faithful versus trying to merit God's favor. The term means, literally, is your sign or proof to them. And then, lost or saved, it's God who decides this. And if you have faith in the Lord Jesus, you are among the saved. Back to our word-for-word translation, 29, that to you it was gifted, the for Christ, not only the unto him agony having, but also the for him to be suffering. The same agony having, sort you are seeing in me, and now you are hearing in me. What does that mean? Well, verse 29, this is because God has given to you, for Messiah's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Thus, you have the same struggle which you saw me have, and now hear that I have. What causes humans to suffer? Well, definitely rejection, grief, loss of any kind, or physical pain. Our struggle, however, is in favor of God's grace against legalists who suggest we must work for our salvation. Back to our word for word, chapter 2, verse 1, that to you it was gifted, the for Christ, not only the unto him agony having, but also the for him to be suffering. Make full of me the joy, so the same thing you think, the same love you having, harmonious ones, the one thing you be thinking. And in our translation on Christian unity, Messiah comforts us Christians We sense the Father's love for us, the Holy Spirit draws us together, and we have heartfelt affection for others. So, give me more joy by thinking about the same things. Have the same love, the same purpose, thinking about one thing, our struggle. Now, our struggle has led to thousands of denominations. Christians have several kinds of struggles. There are those of fleshly desires, which include addictive food and drink, immoral relations, and sometimes illegal activities. Secondly, the world and the devil. This leads to political conflict, many religions and ideologies, hostile authorities, and deceiving spirits. Then there are the Christian deviants with whom we have to deal. These include legalists, charlatans, priestcraft, enthusiasts, antinomians, that is, the lawless, and theological systems. Back to our word for word. Nothing by rivalry, nor by vain glory, but by the humility one another you are considering, they surpassing yourselves, not the one things each one watching, but also the things of others each one's. Now, just what is an episkopos? In translation, do not do anything from self-interest or vain glory. Instead, serve one another by treating others as more important than ourselves. Whilst each one is meeting his own needs, we should, each one, also be meeting others' needs. To meet needs is a verb in Greek, skopeo, meaning to watch carefully. Should you choose to continue in this course, then your assignment for next time is to read the entire epistle this week. Then study carefully chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. For example, at netbible.org. Then visit our website, philippians.site, and try to memorize at least one verse, which you will recite when we come back together.